This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The FDA is backing the Pfizer-BioNTech coronavirus vaccine officially for kids 5 to 11, how many will get it. And the Democrats are on speed dial all the way around the hill as they try to get a spending deal done, with the president jettisoning off for a foreign tour. And what does it mean to you and me? Are you on Medicare? Are you on Medicaid? Do you get benefits? Will they be chopped down or cut a bit? There are certainly some suggestions that that might happen, because it's not fair for other states who pay more. Ooh, the world we live in. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging out with me for a while on this show. A big shout out to all of you as we get ready to batten the hatches and get ready for an interesting holiday and swing in to yet another year, while we're hoping to see the pandemic in our rear view mirror. They're talking about fourth shot for people who are compromised. So all that's in the mix here, and we certainly will talk about it. Plus, coming up this hour, we have a mic drop moment. It's a good one. I think it'll kind of blow you away, actually. How's that for the setup? It will. And then at the tail end of the hour, we talk with Deborah Ellis Suarez, who's got an interesting story about a man that she got to know who went through a hellish jail in Cuba, and what the situation really is like in Cuba, where people are starving and they desperately need food and other supplies. And, you know, on one side, tourists see something, and then the reality is the other side after 60 years under a communist regime. So, that's a great conversation at the tail end of this. And Mike Wolf talking about small business. You know, these businesses that have to face this mandate, unless it gets pushed, are 100 or over. And some small businesses are right there on that cut line. And for them, it's going to be tough with people who won't get vaccinated. And then do they have to be tested every week? And who's paying for that? And the answer is the business is paying for it. So there is definite pressure on the White House to push that mandate into January, but it certainly doesn't look like that is happening. All right, so let's talk about what is really on, I think, a lot of people's minds right now, and that is what we are seeing with, for example, the coronavirus tests. So let's say you're in that situation where you're like, nah, I'm not getting a vaccine, but I'll get tested every week, no problem. Well, that means you need those rapid coronavirus tests. There is a $70 million push to help manufacturers of those at-home tests navigate the FDA's regulatory process, right? Because the need for speed is now, right? It's now. And that's a huge investment by the National Institutes of Health, using funds from the American Rescue Plan, which was passed earlier this year, to be able to do that. They want to speed it up to get the tests out there, that they can be produced and distributed on a large scale, because they're going to need them. Think of schools, think of long-term care facilities, nursing homes, hospitals, and the tests, which can be returned within minutes, can distinguish between the flu and the coronavirus, because, you know, the symptoms are similar, right? similar. And this has to happen where you've got this rule requiring businesses with 100 or more employees to mandate vaccines for all employees or else face weekly testing. So the at-home test would be crucial for that situation because the people who opt for the regular testing instead of the vaccination, you know, that rule would cover probably 100 million employees. So that part's good news, right? If they can make that happen, that's huge. And that would make the situation with the mandate a lot easier to swallow for a lot of companies who could find themselves trying to figure out how they're going to fill orders and what they're going to do because they're in the situation where they're stuck. Right? They are stuck. Yeah. So we'll see where all that heads. And while that's going on, it is a fast and furious press, like I said at the top of this, to come up with a spending deal. And it's, you know, this planned trip is happening. So you've got the push-pull over the $3 trillion in new economic spending initiatives, and $3 trillion is just not going to fly. So that was supposedly knocked down. But at this point, there's a new tax targeting billionaires, and that's kind of in limbo. But that was a way that I think some Democrats thought that they could raise half the revenue from just people like Jeff Bezos from Amazon or Elon Musk from Tesla. But with the billionaires' tax, would it actually work or not? So, what are the details? You know, they say the devil is in the details. Well, what are the details of this? I thought it was going to be 1.75 or 1.50. Supposedly they're closer on a deal than one would think because Biden has to go off to Rome for the G20 meeting of world leaders coming up on Saturday, then on to Scotland for a climate summit. Chuck Schumer says we're still working. We're closer to a final agreement. We'll get it done. We'll get it done. And so what are the obstacles for this? You know, the part we all want to see is the roads, the bridges, the pipes, the ports, the internet connections, of course. That makes sense to me. Some of the other choice pieces of it don't make any sense, but they may get passed or they may not. But I think the bigger the price tag, the chance of it getting passed is less, and we all know that at this point, right? They had to settle on a package which was once $3.5 trillion, but probably is going to be, at the top end, $1.9 trillion. I can't imagine it. Right? I mean, Joe Manchin was saying he wasn't going to go higher than $1.5 trillion, but now maybe there'll be some wiggle room there or not. I mean, it's all about negotiating. That's what's happening at this point. Right? Is there optimism on the Hill or not? There's a lot of bickering going on, but maybe they forged ahead enough that this wraps up in the next couple of days. And like I said, the Republicans, most of the Republicans, will not sign off on this. No way. And hats off to the Atlanta Braves as they won Game 1 of the World Series. Woo! 6-2, they beat the Houston Astros. Game 2 coming up on Wednesday. Mic drop next.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down. And inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
A lot of people are considering moving to other places because they want to be closer to family, or they think they have better opportunities, or they're just tired of living where they're living. Or it's just a question of, I'm itching to do something different, so we're going to shake things up. I had this conversation today with an electrician that came to my house, and great guy, Aaron, and we started talking about materials and house and that kind of thing. And he was saying how in his house, it was a 60s house, but he knew how to do everything in it. He could do the plumbing, the electric, anything. He could just fix it. So it was a pain, and he didn't always want to do it, but he fixed things himself. And he said he was fixing it up because he felt like he just wanted to get out of the city and wanted to go and get like a mobile home and go live on a piece of land somewhere and be able to commute in, but have space, different kind of space, a different kind of view. And there are people that have opted for these, and these were so popular just even a few years ago, especially when they first sprouted up, but these custom tiny houses that are on, you know, wheels. And the custom tiny houses, they can be all different sizes, right? But they look neat, right, inside, especially if they're brand new. But I wonder how you would feel living in a tiny house. I mean, would it feel like it's too tiny? I mean, you could get a tiny house for less than $50,000, and some of them are call them tiny cocoons. But again, it's not like you're going to have a lot of space. That's the whole idea, that you can plop this house wherever you want to plop it. To me, it looks like, you know, they used to call them mother-in-law houses. Like you would have this on your property. And for a mother-in-law house, as they used to call it, I think it looks pretty good. Or if it was some kind of a special office, but I don't know what kind of zoning regulations that would require. But I mean, it has a bed, it has a bathroom, it's got a workspace, it has a kitchen, you know, all these tiny houses. So now, this is the big one that I discovered. I know there was a conversation about it, but there's just a big story about this I was reading the other day. Would you, say you don't want to live in the tiny house, would you live in a 3D printed home? Yeah. People are building them like no one's business. There are different companies that are popping up where they're doing this construction. A lot of it's in California, in the Coachella Valley, where I was earlier this month. They've talked about it there. There are a couple of 3D printed homes in Long Island that ran about $360. One that I saw, maybe it was in the Wall Street Journal or Drudge or somewhere I saw it, but because of home buying surging, you know, the demand for it, low mortgage interest rates, right? Where do you find the space? Home building has climbed. We saw what happened with lumber. Would you do the 3D thing? So check this out. There's a company called Icon, and they have printed houses using concrete framing instead of wood. And it's 15.5 foot tall printers that can build the exterior and interior wall system for a 2,000 square foot one story house in a week. The printer squeezes out concrete in layers, kind of like toothpaste, like you're pushing it out of that tube, you know, when you brush your teeth. And they can print curved walls so they can have all kinds of creative designs. And the week that it takes them to print a wall system is about the same time it takes to frame and drywall a home using traditional construction methods. But they're even hoping to speed it up even more. So 3D printed homes can be built pretty cheap, less waste, that kind of thing. You're not worrying about some of those conventional things, those prices that you'd have to normally worry about. And in Austin, they're selling them like no one's business, seriously. There's just one that I was looking at that was $450,000, but it looks like any other house. I mean, like it doesn't look like a 3D printed house to me. There's even like a development where they're putting this together, where they're using this technology. So to me, hello, mic drop moment. Innovation finds a way, right? So Freddie Mac estimated that the national deficit of single-family homes is about 3.8 million units by the end of 2020. That's where they were. So supply chain backlogs during the pandemic that pinched, the labor shortages, all of that. So now you've got this whole 3D printed houses. And then, honestly, like what my mind was saying it looked like, and there is a Texas startup community in Austin, 100 3D printed homes. So that would be the biggest development in the entire United States. And looking at them, I mean, it does catch you a little off guard at first. You know, when you look at it like, whoa, this is 3D. They squeeze this baby out of a printer. It is kind of crazy when you think about it. But, it can withstand, they say, all kinds of whatever, wind challenges, etc. But, you've got to get the jurisdictions to jump on this. You got to get the approvals. And that could be kind of challenging because technology is not going to be familiar to most of these people at these city halls, right? And the concept to you or I, the look of a 3D house, you've got It's like a layered printing technique, right? You have horizontal ridges in the exterior and some interior walls from that technique. But, you know, I don't know. How much are you saving? A two-bedroom house in this development is $450,000, but it even sold for more than that. There's a four-bedroom 3D printed home that also sold for $800,000. So people, if they want to live there, if they like the idea of living in a 3D printed house, here's what I wonder about. How does it hold up over time? Because, of course, anything in the beginning. You do have to get used to the way it looks. You do. But what would the resale value be on that, do you think? Would it be easy to hey, I'm listing my 3D printed home that came out of a printer. But, I mean, you still have everything around it, and you still have those walls, those bedrooms, the whole thing. And it seems like it's durable. Wow. I mean, they could do anything with 3D. I'm just convinced of it based on some of what I've seen. But I guess I just wasn't thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to have 3D houses. It's going to be, you know, they're going to have these giant printers. So I'm going to watch. I would want to watch. If I got a 3D house, I would want to watch it come out of the printer. I would ask to have a tour of that. Can I please see my house being printed? So I don't know. If you have a choice between a tiny house or a 3D house, you know, which way do you go? Do you do that the sort of log cabin-y or cottagey or ultra chic for, you know, tiny house and have less space and have it on wheels? Or do you go for the 3D house? I think the tiny house, the one thing about the tiny house, that lack of space you'd have to get used to, right? It'd be incentive to work out. There'd be incentive to really stretch during the pandemic and make sure you fill up your Apple Watch or whatever you do, jump rope or something, because, you know, too many of those Doritos kick in. I see these tiny, there was a two-level tiny house I saw, and the stairs were so tiny that you just could not have a lot of stuff in this place, right? You could, well, social distancing, right? You have a party. Okay, everybody has to be outside, and just one by one, you can come in. If you're freezing, I'll let a couple of you in. We have room for about two of you, and hey, the smaller people, you come in first, because the taller people might have some problems here. I don't know. It's just a thought. All right, we're talking about small business next with Mike Wolf. I'll meet you there.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The suspect in an Idaho shopping mall shooting on Monday afternoon passed away on Tuesday morning at a hospital, according to the Boise Police Department. In a statement, they say the Ada County Coroner's Office has identified the suspect as 27-year-old Jacob Berquist. He was wounded during an exchange of gunfire with a police officer at that mall on Monday afternoon, but it's unclear whether the wounds he died of were self-inflicted or if he suffered wounds in that exchange with cops. Three other people injured in the shooting expected to survive, but again, two people were killed. There's no indication of what the gunman's motive was. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children getting a stamp of approval from an FDA panel. It says it's okay in a lower dose for kids ages 5 through 11. And this is USA Radio News. Criminal charges could be brought against anyone who may be responsible for the shooting death of a cinematographer on the set of Alec Baldwin's new film in New Mexico, Rust. The New York Times is reporting that the Santa Fe County DA does say criminal charges are possible as they focus on the ballistics of the weapon to figure out what kind of round was in the gun and who put it there. Something stinks near Los Angeles. Really stinks. In fact, they're declaring a local emergency in Carson, California, over a noxious smell. A council member, Cedric Hicks, says he's suffering from the effects of it.
I wake up every morning with a headache.
That foul smell is coming from the Dominguez Canal, and city leaders have declared a local emergency, imploring the Governor Gavin Newsom and the federal government to declare a state of emergency to free up funding and resources to clean things up, saying the smell is now a public nuisance.
The channel is not designed as a sewer.
And this is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Right now, Mike Wolf is in our virtual green room, and he's written a book called Business Recovery in Difficult Times, and we're excited to talk to him. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You and I had a conversation off the air, and you the statistic still jumps out at me. In fact, I have it written on my desk in front of me because I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. You say 85% of small businesses fail. Wow. Why do 85% of small businesses fail?
Well, that's been one really good question that's always puzzled me. We always hear about this high failure rate, 85% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. I could never quite understand that. So, you know, given all the help, the education, the resources that are available in the country. So in 2012, I began to research the reasons for this, and after hundreds of interviews, my findings were generally close to the statistics. I found that 48% failed for various reasons, price and cost issues, workforce problems, poor marketing, and so on. But a good 40% struggle with money management, and well over half of everyone I've ever interviewed does not know how to read a profit and loss statement. I also found that many of these people are smart in math and comfortable with numbers. It just doesn't add up. I also researched small business failure in other countries for a comparison, and in many other countries like Japan, and especially in Asia and the East. The failure rates are less than half of ours. So why is this? Well, much of it's cultural. We rely on banks, and Japanese small business owners are supported by their families. They're more disciplined, more humble, more respectful in their business affairs, and generally better educated. So, as you know, the U.S. is not a humble country. We know everything there is to know, and you can't teach us anything. I also observed one other commonality that is a problem in our country, Kate, and that is the Easterners manage business and money very, very differently. Their business management methodology is easier to understand, much easier to use, with far less stress. It's safer and more accurate, and there's no guesswork that goes on in our American system every day. If I didn't write this book, there's a good chance that our struggling small business community would never have the opportunity to learn a different and much better way to operate.
I love that in a nutshell. So, of course, you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, again, Business Recovery in Difficult Times. But give us a little snapshot, something that right now people listening can take away. What can we do right now?
Well, let's think. I think there are three things you can do. Three takeaways. Number one, own your own business. What is that? Don't turn everything over to your accountant thinking they will take care of it. They won't. Accountants make mistakes. They work in QuickBooks, and QuickBooks and other accounting software is built on something called the GAAP system. After the U.S. financial system that the crash of 1930, GAAP was invented by the government for easy tax reporting purposes. This has been our training in our business schools, all the way to the top 10 universities. And the U.S. embraces something called the GAAP system, generally accepted accounting principles. It might be a great and easy way for the IRS take on tax reports, but in my opinion, it's almost useless for everyday business decision making. So in the U.S., we focus on marketing with sales revenue coming into the checkbook to pay expenses, and after all the bills are paid, net profit is hopefully what's left. That's how we're trained to think, and that's the problem. So the takeaway? Yeah, the takeaway is don't give everything to your accountant. They're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Check on their work. Get second opinions. It's your money and your company. Own it or someone else will. Secondly, I guess, is don't live on assumptions. If you have the attitude that this doesn't concern me right now and somehow it'll all work out, that's not a good notion. Get rid of it as fast as you can. For most small business, so yeah, really, it won't somehow all work out, and it'll be too late when you finally realize it, right?
Yeah.
And then I guess the third thing is explore humbly. Check your experiences at the door. Explore without an agenda. You know, by reorganize. Here's the whole thing. By reorganizing the exact same numbers that are currently in your financial statements and putting the right income and the right expenses in the right places at the right time for all the right reasons, you're going to get different profit results, a different tax picture, and a quick recovery if things don't go as planned. Be humble enough to explore with an open mind and bring small business owners to a fast recovery in unforeseen, unexpected situations.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Such great advice. I mean, you're right. I don't know. I know some very successful people that started small, and I think they made a lot of the mistakes you said. They've made them along the way.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, it used to be when I grew up, I believe that every business owner must become a millionaire owning their businesses. Being a millionaire used to be a lifestyle, but today it's no longer an option. If you save $3,500 a month for 15 years without missing a month, and obviously what small struggling business owner does this, you would end up with $1 million. Now, if you invest those $1 million and got a return of 5%, if you're lucky, you'd have $50,000 a year. After taxes, well, you'd take home $40,000 a year. Divide that by 12 months, and you have $35,000, and you'd have the same $3,500 that you saved every month.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way saying that you shouldn't save. You should always save. But if assisted living will someday cost you $6,000 a month, where's the rest of the money going to come from?
Right.
And don't tell me Social Security, because that won't happen, right?
Right.
So I guess, you know, at some point, everyone who owns a business will be faced with a decision. Do I sell my business, lease it out, gift it to a family member, close it and walk away, or do I keep on going until I'm no longer able to manage it? So I always ask this question: how much could, would, should my business pay me every single month for not showing up except by choice while it continues to grow without me? The book will give you all of these and many other answers.
Yeah. Was it fun for you to write this book? What was that like?
No, it was terrible. It was awful. I was screeching and crying with every stroke of the pen. Anyway, but writing a book is never easy. But you know what? It's satisfying. It really isn't easy, but satisfying. There are 31 answers to questions that keep small business owners up at night. And it's all in the book. You know, how much should I pay myself? How much should I pay my employees? When can I give my employees a raise and how much? How big should my company be? What's my time worth? How much should my line of credit be? All of that, when I look back, that's the satisfying. To be able to answer those questions, that's the most satisfying, really.
Yeah.
And it was all, that was what made it worth it.
Yeah. And I love it, too, that, difficult times. This is a difficult time, isn't it?
It's impossible time. I don't know how anybody's doing it. I don't know how I'm doing it.
Yeah, it is. It's a different time.
Well, the rules are changed, and nobody knows what the rules are.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This has survived what's in here has survived 5 decades. It survived tsunamis. Businesses survived tsunamis with this. They survived 9/11, and all of the crazy things, the housing crash.
Yeah.
They've used these tools to survive all of those times. And COVID is no different. I mean, it really isn't. You think so. It affected the whole world. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, it's terrible,
right.
but it's still a financially proven, tested system throughout the world. It's been used in other countries, and it works, and it is working for people that are using it today.
Yep. Perfect place to end this. Get the book. There's no question about it. Business Recovery in Difficult Times. Mike Wolf, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses. Apply hot or cold therapy and are all made in the U.S. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Right now, D.E. Ellis, the author of The Last Monkey is the One Who Drowns, the autobiography of Antonio Manola de Leon, as told to D.E. Ellis. And wait till you hear this story if you don't know anything about it already. D.E., thanks so much for coming on.
I'm so glad to be with you.
So let's talk about Antonio and what happened with Antonio. Give us the reason why you wrote this book and more about this man.
Well, I met him years ago when he came to be guest speaker at a church, and I was the non-Spanish speaking musician lady who was playing the piano for the Spanish service when I met him. And, you know, he started telling me some of his story, and I became fascinated, but he really hadn't shared it at all with the world, and was kind of shy. And because some of it is so painful, he kept a lot of it inside of him. So I did convince him that this was really valuable information for people to know. And so we tried to find somebody to write the book, and I ended up doing it.
So. Yeah, and you wrote the book. I'm going to jump to the chase so people know. Antonio de Leon was arrested on the day of the Bay of Pigs invasion. Wow. And he was imprisoned in this fort of El Moro, which supposedly was like hell on earth, right?
It was. I mean, it's a really thick stone fort. And so there's no way anybody could get in or out of it. I mean, there is a story in the book of one of the men that kind of went crazy and said he was breaking out and ran and slammed his head against the stone wall and killed himself in the prison. It was such bad conditions that those kind of things were happening. But yeah, I mean, it was very traumatic. It was a lot of trauma when you're in a concentration camp like that. You know, it's just, I don't know how he was able to get through it, honestly.
Yeah, he escaped execution. He immigrated to the United States. He had to go back to get his family. His boat ran out of fuel. What happened when his boat ran out of fuel in the Atlantic?
Oh, wow. So they had tried to go the day before, and they'd hired a guy that didn't know what he was doing and drove them around in a circle and ended up back at Miami. So they were going to refill their gas tanks, but the Coast Guard saw them and said, well, if you're just going fishing, because that's what they said they were doing, going fishing, and said, if you're just going fishing, you don't need that much fuel. So they took off for Cuba without enough fuel. They did have somebody who got them there, but they didn't have enough fuel. So they ran out of fuel in the Atlantic. And he said that's one of the scariest he's ever been, because the waves were just buffeting them up and down, you know, and they were in danger of losing their lives. But a Russian freighter came along and picked them up. And so he got to be with the same yucky potted Russian canned meat that he had to eat in the prison camp. They had it on the boat, too.
Wow.
Brought him back to his whole prison camp experience. And when they got to Cuba, the freighter had attached his boat and towed it there. And the Cuban government impounded it and said, oh, no, you can't have your boat back. This is perfect for our Coast Guard. And you have a choice of staying and going to prison or going back to America. So
he went back to America. So then tell us about his life then. Then he also was a missionary, and he went into the Guatemalan jungles, and there was terrible civil war there, right?
Oh, it was awful. It was really awful. Yeah, so because of his experience in the concentration camp, it really turned him against God and turned him into an atheist, because he didn't see how there could be a God with such cruelty in the world. And so for years, he lived rebelling against God, but God never took his eyes off of him. And so in the craziest way possible, he came to know God. You have to read the book to find out. And he came to know God, and then became called to be a missionary and went to Guatemala. The first village that they went to really impacted him, because some of the rebels had been there and was just devastated by what he saw. So he went back, and he was there for quite a while during the Civil War. Finally, the Civil War ended, but I don't know if you know much about that period in Guatemalan history. It was really kind of a genocide. A lot of the people that were being killed off were the native Mayan population, because there's a lot of prejudice against the, you know, native Mayans and of the various, I mean, there's a lot of different tribes there that come down from the Mayans. I can't pronounce all their names.
Yeah.
The one that we were most involved with was, they spoke Quechi. But, so he was in a lot of danger there when he was in the jungle. You know, they ran across rebels with guns, and I mean, it was some scary stuff.
Yeah, and so he was, he was a well-liked man, though, when you knew him, right? Like, when you met him and didn't know all these stories.
Yes, yes. Yes, everybody that he ever ministered to absolutely adores him, because he's very loving. And he exhibits those kind of characteristics of what a true Christian is. You know, somebody who exhibits the love of Christ.
Well, how interesting, too, as you say, his journey to that, as being in that terrible, terrible prison. And today, now, obviously, he's got to be concerned about, you know, when you first met him and after you got to know him, about what's happened in Cuba and what's happening in other places that he's been a big part of.
Oh, yes. He still has family in Cuba. and he keeps in touch with them. And his family's had a really hard time. Well, everybody in Cuba's had a really hard time because there's just not food and medicine. Just on a regular basis, they're hungry because there isn't enough food. And the government has it for the tourist places, but they don't allow it for the people.
Mm.
And so the people of Cuba have been rising up. We haven't heard that much about it here in the United States because we've got so many other things we're focusing on. But on July 11th, there was an island-wide revolt against the government, and a lot of people were arrested. And since then, there's been a lot of people trying to revolt against the government, but the government is like finding out that they're going to do it and kind of suppressing it. But we're in great hopes that the people of Cuba will be able to gain their freedom, because it's been over 60 years that they've just been oppressed under this government.
60 years, so long. The name of the book, again, The Last Monkey is the One Who Drowns, autobiography of Antonio Manola de Leon, is told to D.E. Ellis. You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from his story and reading this book?
Well, I think it's a story of hope, because he went through so much. He lost his country, and he was in prison. But he had hope in the end, because he came to know the God of the universe. And he was in danger so many times, and God supernaturally protected him in so many ways. And we can read this story and say, wow, you know, God, you are there, and you are concerned about the people, even the people who are rebelling against you and saying, oh, no, there can't be a God. He's still concerned about those people. And so, you know, you can read this and find hope.
I like that. Perfect place to end this. Dee, thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate talking to you. Bless you.
All right, so fascinating what Dee's talking about and his story. And as she mentioned, there has been a revolt in Cuba. There has been that happening. July 11th was an incredible day. Thousands of people, I saw some photos of this, thousands of people poured into the streets to protest dictatorship and what's happening, and what's happened, as she said, you know, the 60 years. And it's very, very unusual to see any kind of a mass protest in Cuba, any kind of protest for that matter, but because it's dangerous, right? There's people that would get arrested, and, you know, Of course, the government immediately is looking for these people, and you think of what's happened in so many years. You think of Cubans leaving on rafts or anything that floats, and you know, just to get away, whatever it is to get away. Cuba is in a miserable condition. As she says, there's little food, little medicine, and little hope. So this is a book about hope. All right, on that note, thank you so much for listening to this show. And remember, make it count. Keep the people you love close.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired, or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports Hall of Famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.